This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Dr. Jackie Faherty of the American Museum of Natural History and David Livingston of Hotel Mars. This is Hotel Mars, but we're going far beyond our solar system. And we're going so far that it is a fascination to detail what Dr. Faherty and her colleague, Dr. Kaltenegger, have published in Nature magazine, the premier peer-reviewed magazine in Europe, matching science in the U.S. I read from the abstract. In the search for life in the cosmos, transiting exoplanets are currently our best target. With thousands already detected, our search is entering a new era of discovery with upcoming large telescopes that will look for signs of life, in quotes, in the atmospheres of transiting worlds. Previous work has explored the zone from which Earth would be visible while transiting the Sun. However, these studies considered only the current position of stars, did not include their changing vantage point over time. Here we report, Dr. Faherty and Dr. Kaltenegger, we report that 1,715 stars within 100 parsecs from the Sun are in the right position to have spotted life on a transiting Earth since early human civilization, with an additional 319 stars entering this special vantage in the next 5,000 years. I will stop there and turn to Dr. Faherty, Jackie. Jackie, this is a wow. I mean, a wow. The next 5,000 years? Okay. What does it mean to look at us transiting the Sun in these other stars looking across the universe? Good evening to you, Doctor.
Good evening to you, and thanks for having me and for being excited about this project, because we certainly are very excited to report it and to have it be something out there to, like, let people's imaginations go wild and creative on the kinds of things that we're discovering in astronomy and the kinds of things that might be discovering us in astronomy. So I can give you the quick 101 of what our motivation was. That might be a good place to start as to what we were doing.
Please do, and then explain what transit means, transiting the Sun.
Yes. Okay. So, well, here's a question for you about, how many years ago? 2012, I believe, there was an event called the Transit of Venus. Did you catch the transit of Venus?
Yes. Yes, it was much in the news. David, we talked about it at the time.
Yes, we did. And I had it on the space show, yes.
Great. So that is exactly what it looks like when you catch a world transiting another world, in the sense that in another star, you're looking towards a star, and it's not going to be an eclipse, because it's not like the moon where it can completely cover the Sun for some people that are in totality if you're watching that from this planet. Instead, you're going to look towards a distant star, and when a planet passes between your eye or your detector on your telescope, it will dim the light ever so slightly, similar to how you would have saw a black dot crossing the face of the Sun on the day the transit of Venus happened. And so that's what we look towards. We look towards the stars. We monitor their light very carefully, and we're so good at this, we can measure their brightness changes down to a very high precise level. And planets, as they go around their stars, they dip the light. They cause the light to go down a little bit, and then the star comes back to full brightness, and then the planet comes back around because we're in orbit. And then you see the dimming happen periodically. And when you see it happen enough times, you get confident in saying, I think I've got a planet there. And you mark it as a transiting world that you're going to investigate further. So that's what astronomers are using as one of the primo prime method to find planets around other stars. We've got about 4,400 or so planets that are now known, and over 70% of them were found through this method. So it's a very powerful method that we use.
And your motivation for imagining other systems watching us, how did you come to that, Jackie?
Right. Okay. So this is what we ended up doing. So we know how we are finding planets, and we know that we are using this method, the transit method, in large scale, in bulk, and we're finding lots of worlds this way. And what we wanted to do was basically hold a mirror up to our methods. And this is actually something, so my co-author on this paper, Lisa Kaltenegger, who is an astrophysicist, she works at Cornell University, she had already written a paper on the static catalog of stars, meaning look up right now and which ones are in a position to see us. But she brought me in because I'm a dynamicist. And what I do is I look at stars through time. I look at how they move. I look at the dynamic nature of the universe. And so what we took it further than not like, okay, you know that if you're going to look up at the sky and see a star with a transit, you have to look at it for a lengthy amount of time. Like the Earth takes 365 days to go around the sun. So the question to us became clear. Let's think about this from the reverse perspective. Number one, which stars are in the right position to see us as a transiting world? And then number two, let's look at it over time. So we looked in the past and we looked in the future. And that was in part to look at the time intervals. How long do you get that vantage point for? And you can think of this as kind of like ships that are passing in the night, you know, like timing is kind of everything in the world. And the timing was everything when we looked through the stars to decide on which objects could see us and how long they would get to see us for. So we were, the motivation for us in this was to hold the mirror up to our own searches and reverse the question, not what worlds can we find that might have life around them, but what planets might look towards us, and then how long can they see us for? So that was our motivation.
David?
So you're talking about star systems looking at Earth or specific planets that we've already identified looking at Earth or being able to see Earth?
Yeah. So what we focused on were the 300-light-year sample. And the 300-light-year sample is the close-by sample. You can think of it as like the spitting distance away from the sun sample. At least that's the way that I like to describe it. And that, we look at the nearby ones because those are the ones that you would focus on for, they're going to be bright. They're going to be easier to study because they're the closest examples of their stellar types. But that also means that they're famous stars. They're very famous stars because they're the brighter ones and all the reasons. And so it just turns out that these, our list, which we only focus on the nearby sample, is composed of a number of stars that have been famously looked at through lots of different methods, and there are indeed planets around them. So among our list, there's at least seven of the 2,000 or so, that are in there, that are known to host worlds of their own. So seven of them. And some of them you might have heard of. For instance, have you guys heard of the star called TRAPPIST?
Yes.
And all of its planets?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. It's a good one, right? So TRAPPIST is a very famous object, a famous star. It's barely a star. It's basically a brown dwarf. And that object we found is going to enter the Earth transit zone. So it's not in it right now. It in about 1,600 years. In 1,600 years, it will have a vantage point to see us. Now, we've already seen the planets around that world, but in 1,600 years, it's coming in, and it will be able to detect us as a transiting planet then, the same way that we detected the seven worlds around it.
There's a tension in the nature abstract to radio waves from the Earth. How so, Jackie? What are radio waves determinative of?
Yes. Okay. So the other part to this, which is critical, is that there's something called SETI, which I'm sure you guys know all about and you've been studying. And so SETI is this project, which is the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And in that, what we do is we look out into the sky and we try and find signatures of artificial electromagnetic radiation that might be coming towards us through a different civilization, say. And because of that, we wanted to also reverse the question and say, what about looking at worlds that may be doing the same thing, and which ones may have detected our technosignature? Now, so it's only been about 100 years since we've been broadcasting live so that you can actually detect a signal of Earth's artificial radiation, which is coming in the way of our broadcasting. So we also looked at the stars that were basically within that radius of 100 light years or so. And in doing that, we were able to say the stars that had not only they're in the position to detect us as a transiting planet, but also have been washed over by the broadcast signals that are coming from our planet. So that's why you'll see some of the numbers that people got really excited about in the news and the media that show the number of worlds that may very well have been able to detect us if they had, an advanced civilization around them.
David?
As I understand it, we are only on the fringe of being able to detect life biological signals on an exoplanet through their atmosphere. These planets that have already been in position to detect Earth, we've had life on Earth, would they have been capable of picking up bio signals in Earth's atmosphere? They wouldn't have gotten technical because we weren't broadcasting then. But what about the bio signals that we still can't detect in an exoplanet atmosphere?
Right. Excellent question. So when we look out, we're also not, in all of our searches that we're doing in exoplanet searches right now, SETI is definitely looking, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, or acronym SETI, is looking for the technosignatures, say, of radio waves. But we know that that's not necessarily, you could go radio quiet and be an advanced civilization. And so we want to see if there's biosignatures. We would look for ozone, for instance, in the atmosphere. So could they have looked towards us, an advanced civilization? Absolutely. And so that's the technosignature isn't the only way. And so just so you guys know, part of what I love about this study is I bet we found the worlds that found us. It's more like learning about our own methodology in searching. It's more this hold the mirror up to yourself, because there's not that many worlds that have been washed over by our technosignature. And more than that, the broadcast signals that are coming from Earth are weak. They weaken, and they're weak as they leave our planet. So it's not really that many places that could have detected us this way.
We're speaking with Dr. Jackie Faraday of the American Museum of Natural History, who with her colleague, Dr. Kaltenegger, have published in Nature magazine revelations about what is possible to be understood as people or things or objects or civilizations looking back at us. However, when we come back, we're going to turn to another way of studying the heavens, and by Dr. Faraday, and that is a project called Gaia. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N, with David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show. I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World.